On mine and David's honeymoon, we had the awesome opportunity to learn how to surf. We went to Hawaii last September, and I will never forget surfing in Hawaii. Has anyone here ever surfed before? A couple people. Okay. Yes, it's thrilling and very exhausting. And the most exhausting part of it is actually paddling back out to the ocean after you've surfed in towards the shore. And we had a two-hour private lesson with a surfing instructor who was a native on the island. And I'm somebody that likes to get my money's worth, so as although it was very exhausting, I was like, man, I got to keep getting my 2 hours worth because we've paid good money for this. Anyways, you're laying on your surfboard, and the instructor waits with you, and he's looking behind to see when a good wave is coming. And as he sees a good wave coming, he pushes your board out, and he tells you to start paddling, and then he shouts to you when to stand up. And once you're standing, it's very important that you focus ahead of you, because if you turn your focus to the side or behind you, guess which direction you go in. You'll fall down because you'll go to the side and then your board gets loose on the wave, or your board will just flip over and you fall into the water before the wave has brought you to the shore. And so it's vitally important that when you're surfing, you keep your focus forward. And as long as you keep your focus forward, the wave will take you right into the shore. And so it was a wonderful experience and an exhausting experience. And it taught me many spiritual lessons, especially regarding focus. And so my question for us this morning is, where is your focus today? Where has your focus been the past week? Because wherever your focus is, that is the direction that you're headed. Let me give you another example. We were without water, correct, for some hours. There was a time, I think it was about a year ago or sometime this year, where we also did not have water. And I was telling I went to the bathroom and I was telling myself, don't flush the toilet, don't flush the toilet, don't flush the toilet. I said it like 10 times. And what do you think I did? I flushed the toilet. I was like, man, I was repeating this over and over again. How is it that I did exactly what I said not to do? Well, because my focus was on not doing that. But in reality, when we focus on not doing something, we end up doing it. And so focus is so important. Turn with me to Matthew 17, verse 6 through 8, as we read the scripture verse. Verse 8, but we're going to start from verse 6, and please open your Bibles and go there yourself so that you can really hear God speaking to you personally. Matthew chapter 17, verse 6, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except who? Jesus only. Friends, we must stay focused on Jesus. Notice the experience the disciples had. They fell and they were afraid. Do you see those two words in verse 6? Then what happens? Jesus comes and he touches them. And what happens when Jesus touches them? He says, arise, be not afraid. That's a command. All of God's commands are promises. Did you know that? When God spoke the world into existence, it happened. And so when he commands us to do something, if we believe it with all of our heart, we may have the experience that he is promising us. And so in verse 8, when they lifted up their eyes, they focused and saw only Jesus. Focusing on Jesus is the remedy for every challenge, Every problem, every difficulty, perplexity, suffering, pain, anxiety, worry, you name it. Any problem that you have, if we focus on Jesus, He will be the remedy. So how is it with you today? Do you lift up your eyes and see Jesus through your present trials and challenges? Well, my answer for you is that you may, if you choose to do so. The definition of focus is the following: the center of interest or activity. This is from Google, by the way. The state or quality of having or producing clear visual definition. Adapting to the prevailing level of light and become able to see clearly. Focus is paying particular attention to. And so what have you been paying particular attention to in your life recently? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. This is one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him or her. Thou will keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Do you know that word stayed in the King James? It means focus or to fix your attention on. And so whoever stays his mind or focuses his mind, his thoughts upon Christ, will receive what? Peace. Isn't peace what all of us need and want? So going forward, did you know that the reason for God giving us His law was that so we would keep our focus on Christ? If you don't believe me, go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Galatians 3:24. I believe in regards to focus, sometimes we focus on the wrong thing and we end up going in that direction. And God is trying to make things very simple for us, but for whatever reason, we overcomplicate things. Galatians 3:24 says the following. Oops. Galatians 3:24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto who? To bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I'm not saying that the law is wrong. Romans chapter 7 says that the law is good and holy and just. But our focus was never intended to be on the law. Our focus was to be on Christ, who perfectly fulfilled the law. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23. And you'll notice here, if you study commandment number 2 regarding idolatry, you'll notice that every single text is connected with forgetting who God is, forgetting His covenant. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23. Deuteronomy 4:23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. So notice what is connected with idolatry. We can interact here. Forgetting the covenant. And you'll notice in almost every single text that mentions idolatry, the person who is committing the idolatry is forgetting the covenant, is forgetting God's character, forgetting His redemption, that He is the one who saves. The focus was turned away from the covenant, and the focus became the image and the idol. And you will notice in Hosea chapter 13, we won't go there, but idolatry is mentioned in Hosea 13. And what's connected with the idolatry is the Lord is speaking to the person who's committing the idolatry, to Israel, really, and he's saying, listen, I will ransom you, I will redeem you, I will love you freely, your fruit is from me. O Israel, you've destroyed yourself, but your help is in me, focus on me. So friends, what is the covenant? Because if the commandment was given, if all the commandments were given so that we won't forget the covenant, it must be important to know what the covenant is, right? I feel like in the Adventist world and even the Christian world, we use these words and we think we know what they mean, like covenant, and we don't really know what it means. So let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, we're actually going to read the whole chapter together and focus on particular points. Genesis chapter 15, this is the covenant that God makes with Abram. Genesis chapter 15, starting in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So what do we see here in the beginning of the covenant? Well, I want you to notice something very interesting. It says that the word of the Lord comes to Abram, right? Now, I love the Bible so much because when I joined the Adventist church, the Bible came alive to me like a treasure map. And it was as if one verse unlocks another verse, and you can understand more truth. And it's so funny that this morning I was trying to understand like how to express that, and I just happened to come across in Adventist Youth, page 79, Ellen White wrote a letter to her sons, and she said, by reading and searching out scripture references, you will see the chain of truth and will see new beauties in the Word of God. And so a new beauty regarding verse 1, I wonder if any of you see it. It says, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. If we go to John chapter 1, keep your finger in Genesis chapter 15. But when we go to John chapter 1, we see what or who exactly is the word of God. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jumping down to verse 14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the word of God? Jesus. So when we go back to Genesis chapter 15, and we read that the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, we are in essence reading that Jesus himself came to Abram in a vision. And what does Jesus tell Abram, just as he told the disciples? Fear not. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Let's move on. Verse 2 through 6. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord, Jesus, came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, or number the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said to him, so shall thy seed be. Now look at verse 6, the focus here. He believed in who? He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So notice, God promises Abram something. God promises Abram that he would... God promises Abram that he would, yes, have children, but that spiritual Israel would come from him. That you would not even be able to number the stars, how many there would be. And he believed in the Lord. He believed his promise to him. Now going on to verse 7, notice verse 7 and 8, the Lord said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And Abram said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So notice, God is giving a promise to Abram, and he's saying, I'm going to give it to you. And Abram is saying, okay, but like, how will I know that I'm going to possess it? So he's questioning, right? He's kind of like, okay, you're promising me, but how do I know it's really going to happen? And friends, we experience this all the time, right? We read promises to us from God, and we're like, well, I haven't experienced it yet. I don't feel this way. How do I know that what you're saying is true? Let's read verses 9 through 12. He said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, this is the Lord speaking, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. So Abram was not just in a dark place, but it was a horror of great darkness. Has anyone here ever experienced that? Or perhaps you're going through a dark time right now and you're asking God, Lord, how do I know that the promises that you are promising me are going to come to pass? Now notice in verses, starting at verse 14. Oh, sorry, starting at verse 13. The Lord says unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance, and you shall go to your fathers in peace and be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Notice verse 17 and 18. This is God's answer to Abram, questioning, how do I know the promise is true? It came to pass, verse 17, that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Friends, if you've never read this before, I encourage you to read it over and over again, because notice what God is doing here. God is setting up the sacrifices, and Jesus is the one seen passing between the two sacrifices. This wasn't common, because in that day, both parties would participate. But God was the one seen passing through, symbolizing that even if Abram messed up, Jesus would be the one to die in his place to make sure that the promise is fulfilled. That is how sure he is of his promise. Can you imagine, like, somebody promises you something and you say, well, how do I know that it's going to happen? And they literally give their life to assure you their promise is true. There's nothing greater that he could have done. And I can tell you for sure that this is a symbol of Jesus, because it's a burning lamp that passes between the pieces. Go back to John chapter 1 and you'll see that chain of truth that we've been talking about, John chapter 1. To see it for yourself that Jesus is not only the Word of God, but he is the light of the world. John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so this promise was not only for Abram, but it was for who? Every man that comes into the world. God's promises are for every man and woman. God says, I have given it to you. You'll notice in Genesis chapter 15, he says that phrase over and over again. I've given it to you. I've given it to you. I will give it to you. And we see that theme throughout Scripture. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. I will do it. It's just, are we going to believe that he will do it? Will we take it for ourselves and not just think it's for somebody other than us? And so let's start living in the freedom that God is giving to us. Romans chapter 4 expounds a little bit on Abram's experience. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. And that Abram's focus became Jesus, his righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Oh, sorry, even starting at verse 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now going to verse 20. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Who's the he being spoken of? Jesus Christ. He will fulfill the promise. And therefore, it was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. What was it that Abraham did that made him righteous? He believed in God's promises. Notice in verse 20, the definition for faith is built right into the text. In verse 20, staggering not at the promises of God. Believing what God has promised so fully that it transforms and renews our minds and makes us into who God wants us to be. Now, going through in Genesis 15, you'll notice the sequence of things. Jesus comes to Abram. Jesus promises Abram. And you'll find yourself, I can guarantee you, you have found yourself in this sequence before. Abram believes in the Lord. And Abram is therefore righteous. The Lord again promises the inheritance to Abram. And then Abram asks, well, how do I know that it's going to happen? And then Abram falls into a horror of great darkness. And then God shows Abram, I am so sure of my promise to you that I'm sending my son Jesus to die to secure the promise. And then God promises again, I have given it to you. Rest assured, believe my promises. And then Abram goes forth righteous because he chooses to believe that what the Lord has promised will come to pass. He appropriates it to himself and doesn't just believe that it's for somebody else, but that it's personally for him. By faith, he grasped the promise for himself. And friends, we can do the same thing. God wants us to do the same thing. Paul says, I have learned in every circumstance to be content. I think I shared this with the lifestyle guest. Notice that word learned. It didn't come naturally to Paul to learn these things. But we are blessed with the opportunity to live the life that God has given us, to learn how to appropriate the promises of God to our own lives. I was quite frightened at one point in the surfing experience because I was paddling back out towards the instructor and towards David, and a huge wave was coming towards me. And the instructor didn't tell me what to do if a big wave was coming towards me. So I panicked and I froze, and the wave just pummeled me and pulled me to the bottom of the ocean where I smacked into the coral. And I sucked in all this water, and as I emerged from underneath the water, I was gasping for air and coughing up all this water, I made it eventually out to the instructor, and I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do this, but again, I spent a lot of money, so I need to get my money's worth. And I asked the instructor, I was like, what do I do when that huge wave is coming towards me? And he just laughed, and he said, you must meet the wave head on. You must put your head down and paddle into the wave as it's coming towards you, and you'll make it through the wave. And so the next time, my focus was on the instructor and David, and my focus was not on panicking and freaking out, but I just put my head down, and by faith, I took him for his promise, and I paddled through the wave as hard as I could, and I made it out on the other side. So I was like, wow, many more spiritual lessons I am learning. Go with me to Isaiah 43. This is our closing scripture here, because it reminded me of Isaiah chapter 43. There's many spiritual lessons you can take from that story, but especially Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2, and then jumping down to verse 10. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. And just a side note, whenever you read like Jacob and Israel, you can insert your own name there. So please, as you read it, personalize the text to you. Don't just think that you're reading another book and this isn't referring to you. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, insert your name, O Chelsea, and he that formed thee, O Chelsea, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And in verse 10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Friends, I'm not sure what kind of darkness you might be experiencing in your life, like Abram was, but I can assure you, because God has promised that you're going to make it through, he doesn't promise that he's going to take you out of the water or the fire, but he promises to go with you through it, just as I had to meet the wave head on and paddle through it. He will get you through it. God doesn't want us to run from our problems and difficulties. He wants us to face them head on and to believe his promises that he will get us through. He wants to keep our focus on him, and as long as we do so, we will get there and be able to see him face to face. So lift up your eyes to Jesus, to the love that will never let us go. And let's keep our focus there.